final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. The conversation about forests seems to pick up this time of year when forests in the region can and do burn. The generally agreed upon goal is to make forests less flammable by removing all the extra material sitting there from years of quickly putting fires out. That's the line of work Lomakatse Restoration Group has been in for nearly three decades now. And here's our chance to take a general view of the work and the people who do it. We have two guests from Lomakatse. Marco Bay is the founder and executive director of the operation. Welcome back, Marco.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
And we also have with us once again Belinda Brown, Lomakatse's Tribal Partnerships Director. Welcome back, Belinda.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here. So, Marco, right back to the beginning, when you started, how big a playbook was there for how to approach forest restoration? Was there much of a track record?
Well, I think the practice and the science has been evolving over the last three decades. Fires have gotten a lot more intense. We're in fire years as opposed to fire seasons. Fire's season is a lot longer, so we're adapting with the adapting climate and the adapting conditions. But there was a good base of both science, but really indigenous traditional ecological knowledge practice that has been also evolving in that integration on how we address the wildfire crisis and the climate issue.
Was traditional ecological knowledge incorporated from the beginning, Marco?
Well, that's been evolving. It's been a practice for thousands of years. Just recently, Western science is catching up and getting that practice is getting integrated and recognized, even recognized by the administration through various mandates and authorities and direction. And Belinda has a lot more experience with that, so I'll turn that over to her.
Right, which leads to the question for you, Belinda. I mean, the knowledge does go back thousands of years, but obviously lots of disruption in native culture in the last few hundred years. Has that presented any issues in keeping the knowledge fresh, accessible, intact?
The knowledge for the Native Americans is always fresh and intact, even though our cultures have had been challenged by colonization. So I grew up putting fire on the ground in my lifetime, and it's just the recognition and the honoring of the Aboriginal people. I think I've shared before, we get the I Told You So award of being
yes.
able to keep this Mother Earth healthy and vibrant. And through administration that just has commodities in their sites as far as extraction, we're learning that that's not sustainable. So we've come full circle to the Aboriginal traditional ecological knowledge is the best science that we have as land stewards, as the first best stewards of the land. And as Marco said, Western science is now catching up to themselves. And fire ecology is a baby science. I think it came about in the early 60s. So when you measure and balance time immemorial knowledge against a science that just burst in the 60s, you will have the proof in the pudding of what it takes to keep the land and Mother Earth vibrant and alive. And our people being out there on the land is really important. All people are indigenous, but our people being out there on the land, working on the land, maintaining the land, that's the connection that we all need. So really it comes down to the idea that we could be separate from our environment as biological human beings. That's the fallacy that we're coming up against.
Belinda Brown and Marco Bay are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange from Lomakatse Restoration Group. They'll be giving a free talk about what Lomakatse does on July 15th at Carpenter Hall in Ashland. That'll run from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's called Forest Restoration, a Win-Win for People and Nature. You can take part in this conversation with emails to jx@jeffnet.org. When you talked about putting fire on the ground as a young person, Belinda, how young and where?
I grew up in a large agricultural community in Modoc County. We had a 1,200-acre ranch that was right next to our 12,000-acre reservation. So we burned in the spring and the fall. And as we also had another ranch in Chico, California. and in areas like Paradise and Butte Creek that we have seen suffer greatly. When we used to take our cattle off in the fall, all the ranchers and farmers used to burn all that vegetation. And so when fire was outlawed and we went to a policy of putting every fire out is when we started building up those fuels in the forest and fuels in areas that shouldn't be, that should be taken care of. Fire is medicine for the land. Many people know that. However, that wasn't the policy. And we always share that Smokey the Bear did his job too well. So we want to reinvent Smokey with a drip torch in his hand so that we can get more good fire back out there on the land. However, the work that Lomakase does right now in ecological thinning and thinning the forest is what we have to do first before we can get good fire back out on the land. And again, people and their connection to their environment is what is missing right now. So we do need the people. We need the workers out there doing the work that we're doing. We need more workforce out there doing work so that we can help protect our forest, our wildlife habitats, and our communities.
Marco, how many more people do you need to do the work you do?
Well, we would need to greatly scale up, and that's what we've been doing with our model. But this is no one organization's task. This is done in collaboration with our federal partners, our state agency partners, other nonprofit organizations, tribes, tribal organizations, and communities. But we're seeing this collaboration that's been evolving in addition to the science and the practice of forest restoration and ecosystem resilience. Like Belinda mentioned, combining indigenous traditional ecological knowledge with Western science and forest restoration practice is also the discipline of collaboration. And we've been pulling these collaboratives together. The Rogue Valley has an incredible collaborative, the Rogue Forest Partners. We have some great organizations, the Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative, the Nature Conservancy, our local Forest Service, BLM, Oregon Department of Forestry, other nonprofit organizations, OSU Extension. So it takes this convening, and we're replicating this across multiple states, across multiple geographies. So that's why this talk, forest collaboration, a win-win for nature and people, it's really going to take those governance structures, collaborative models, that we can all bring our skills and abilities and scale up this work and increase the pace and scale of this ecosystem resilience work across the changing climate and a more intense fire regime. We can see now, you know, with the smoke all around us, fires burning in the four directions, we have a lot of work to do. So we've been scaling our efforts. We treat about 30,000 acres a year across two states, but that's a drop in the bucket on what needs to happen. Well, but we need to do it cautiously, mm-hmm. and we need to monitor our work. We need to learn by doing. We need to have adaptive management strategies because this is evolving and changing. But there's a tremendous amount of work to do across millions of acres in the West.
Exactly my next question, which is about, you know, millions of acres need this kind of treatment. 30,000 acres a year is kind of a drop in the bucket for that. But you can point then to places that are, I don't know, more or less fire ready, could you say?
Yeah, there are places on the landscape where there's been some significant action and federal and state and tribal and philanthropic investment. You know, the Ashland Forest Resiliency Stewardship Project is one great example. We have projects in the Rogue Valley, the West Bear All Lands Restoration Project. So these are places where there's active management across, you know, 27,000 acre footprint projects to 15,000 acre projects, even though it's small. It's creating these resilient ecological islands, and the more we can tie these islands together, protecting large old trees, protecting biodiversity, getting good fire back on the ground, supporting good jobs, supporting industry. Our industrial partners are real key in this. We have to utilize some of those logs that come out of the woods in an ecological way. We have to protect wildlife habitat. We have to utilize our science teams on the ground. So, yeah, there are places to point to. There's places in Northern California on the Modoc National Forest. Great collaborations happening right now with the Fort Bidwell Indian Community Tribe and the Pitt River Tribe, the Coast Selective Band. I mean, there's incredible projects in the Mid-Klamath led by the Kadoop Tribe and the Forest Service in partnership with the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council. So this is really a kind of a movement of ecosystem resilience, utilizing a triple bottom line approach of ecological, social, and ecology, ecosystem resilience work. to get this work done, create jobs, and revitalize our communities.
Mark Obey is the founder and executive director of Lomakotsi Restoration Project. Belinda Brown is the Tribal Partnerships Director. Our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, they'll be giving a talk on this very subject on July 15th at Carpenter Hall in Ashland, 6:30 p.m. Forest restoration, a win-win for people and nature. If you have some thoughts you'd like to share now, send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Belinda, I want to come back to what you were talking about. Fire ecology as a Western system is just a baby science from the 60s versus the thousands of years of experience on the land of Native people. But together, are some things being worked out in how to adapt the processes to hotter summers, drier climates, the things we're seeing now?
Yes, there really is a marriage between the Western science and the indigenous traditional ecological knowledge as the practitioners are coming together in training. Like Marco was saying, a lot of our partners, we have the Rogue Basin Treks program where people come together from all over the geography to come train and learn. So we have fire practitioners with traditional ecological knowledge training some of the Western scientists, and the Western scientists coming with their science and training our tribal communities. So we're, again, really fortunate to have the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, the Confederated Tribes of the Siletz, the Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua Tribe of Indians, the Talawa Dene, who all have ancestral geography and land base in the Rogue Basin to support our programs. And that is important for the intergovernmental affairs coordination, because the Rogue Basin natives were basically relocated long ago. However, their ancestral land base is still here, and they're very much interested in preserving and protecting their cultural resources and cultural heritage here. So that is important to us, the Rogue Forest Partners. We've been a part of them since their inception in 2019, and we had a large group of tribal members, tribal leadership, come to our first meeting for the integrated lessons learned from the Rogue Basin and the Rogue Forest Partnership. So we do have that tribal influence still here. We're still here. We're still working hard to bring answers and to be able to offer solutions and bring a workforce through the Indian Youth Service Corps. Lomakotsi just signed a multi-regional agreement with the Forest Service and also with National Park Service across the nation. We have the ability to train 18 to 30-year-olds, up to 35 if they're veterans, in these workforce capacities, and have actually helped build the natural resource sector with the Rogue Workforce Partnership also. So we're really confident that as we continue to marry Western science and indigenous traditional ecological knowledge, that we will be able to help address these challenges and continue to bring solutions as we work together in collaboration.
Marco, we've got about a minute left here. I just want to ask about extending to new areas this summer. It sounds like you're working in far eastern Oregon in addition to some of the places you've worked already.
Yeah, the program has expanded. We'll be celebrating our 30th year in January. Oh. But we're working across the state of Oregon, up in the Willamette Valley, over in Burns. We're going to be celebrating a graduation with the Burns Paiute Tribe and Tribal Council of a Tribal Stewards Program. So this model is moving around the state, even expanding into Nevada. We're being requested from the national level, from Department of Interior, from USDA. There's Bureau of Indian Affairs investment going into these initiatives. So really seeding this restoration workforce, this model that was really built around the Fremont Wainema National Forest and the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, the Medford BLM, of collaboration, tribal engagement, tribal workforce capacity development. It's expanding across the region right now, and it's a replicable model, and we're really excited about it.
It's always fun to hear about it, too. It's always fascinating. We'll hear again from Mark Obey and Belinda Brown, or you will, if you want to go to their talk on July 15th at 6:30 at Carpenter Hall in Ashland. It's called Forest Restoration, a Win-Win for People and Nature. Mark Obey is the founder and executive director of Lomakotsi. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And Belinda Brown is the Tribal Partnerships Director. Thank you, Belinda.
Thank you.